Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, this time from Pastor Graham Mabry. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
So our topic for today is facing temptation. Now we all face temptation, adults and children alike. It's just that we face different types of temptation depending on who we are. Children, I wonder if you've ever been tempted when your mum or dad say you can have one lolly or one piece of chocolate or one biscuit to take two or three or maybe four. And then maybe tempted when your mum or dad say to you, who ate all the biscuits? Maybe you're tempted to lie and say, wasn't me. Maybe it was my sister or my brother. Or adults, I wonder if you're ever tempted when that little phone dings and you're driving your car to actually just look over and want to check your messages. Maybe you just have a quick look around first, see if you can see any police close by, and then you're tempted to read that message. You know, rules and laws are in place for our own good. And when we are disobedient, we're tempted to disobey laws, then there's always, always a consequence. I wonder, anybody who's had a puppy, if you've had to teach your puppy how to be obedient. Maybe you've taken your puppy to puppy school and you've had to teach your puppy how to walk on a leash properly, not run away, and teach your puppy how when you take the lead off, they don't run away so they don't get run over by a car. Maybe you've given your puppy treats when they do the right things, some smackos or some liver treats. Mmm, delicious. Something like that to help train your puppy. Well, now we're going to hear the story of Lass, the next chapter of our story. And what happened to Lass when she faced temptation? Liesl and Esty will come to read the story to us.
Thank you, Sue. I would just like to recap chapters 1 and 2 for those of you who unfortunately couldn't hear the story. We are reading the story of Mr. Keller and Lass, his beautiful border collie. And it's a true story. Mr. Keller wrote down all the beautiful lessons that God taught him as he worked with his beautiful border collie, a sheepdog. When Mr. Keller first met Lass, Lass was a very angry, afraid, and unhappy dog. Lass was unloved, and Lass was definitely in the wrong hands. Mr. Keller helped Lass to change by patiently and lovingly taking care of her. Over time, Mr. Keller proved to Lass that he's a master that can be trusted. Lass learned to recognize Mr. Keller's voice. Lass learned to follow Mr. Keller's instructions. Lass learned to trust and obey. Over time, Lass was being transformed from a dog angry and afraid to a dog who would obey her master. So thank you, Esty, for reading us chapter 3.
Lass and Mr. Keller found themselves caught up in many great adventures together. They were handling the sheep, running the ranch, and they were guarding against predators. Lass had a lot to learn, but she was eager and anxious to obey. At heart, all she wanted was Mr. Keller's approval. Lass was not a noisy dog. She seldom barked, except to warn that a stranger was coming. She was almost totally silent as she worked with Mr. Keller. She spent her energy on carrying out his commands. Because she was not a young dog, she had become set in her ways. She had to learn to obey. In a strange way, one of her greatest strengths became her greatest weakness. Lass always wanted to be where the action was, and she wanted to have Mr. Keller in view at all time. She was fixated with being with Mr. Keller and in action beside him. While her intense loyalty helped her in many ways, and she was learning her lessons well, she found it very hard to stay in one place. Over the years, there was one command that she had a hard time following. It was the signal, stay. This word meant that she had to remain steady and stay wherever she was placed. There were times when sheep had to be moved from pasture to pasture, or ewes, lambs and rams had to be sorted. Only with the eager assistance of a good sheepdog can these jobs be done efficiently. Lass might be asked to stay and hold a group of sheep in the corner of a field while Mr. Keller checked the little lambs. Sometimes she had to keep big, heavy rams on the loading ramp while Mr. Keller was busy doing something else. Other times she had to guard an open gate. When given the command to stay, Lass often thought she was missing out on something or that she had been forgotten. Once Mr. Keller was out of view, she would become uneasy, begin to move about, and be tempted to leave her post. She would sometimes break faith and take off after him, leaving the sheep unattended. When Mr. Keller came back to find her gone, it was always a great disappointment. The sheep would quickly scatter, the work would be undone, and the job would have to be started all over again. There were two things in particular that caused Lass to want to disobey her master's orders to stay: crows and sparks. One day, Mr. Keller and Lass were in the middle of moving the loudly bleating flock of sheep. Suddenly, several black crows came flying over the fields, swooping down low over Lass. The noisy blackbirds teased the sheepdog with their loud cries. The noisy rascals were a huge temptation to Lass. These crafty birds seemed to find great pleasure in tormenting Lass with their loud screeches and daring dives. They became a formidable temptation in distracting Lass from her duties. The distraction was so strong that Lass would tear away after them, leaping, barking, racing over the fields in wild abandon, unable to hold herself back. Her graceful body seemed to fly over the field. She was having great fun. After a while, she gave up and came back. Lass was very tired. Her tongue hung from her mouth. She looked up into Mr. Keller's face and turned her head to one side as if to say, "What a great sport that was. I really scared them away. I hope you are so pleased with me." Though she had put on an amazing show, it had not been good for the sheep or her master. The sheep were all out of order. It would take extra time to get them all together again. The crows distracted her from her important duties. Their games made Lass tired and kept her from doing her jobs well. Perhaps the most disagreeable part was that the birds caused Lass to break faith and tear off after them when she was supposed to stay. In the autumn, about the time the crows started migrating, Mr. Keller began to clear the land. With summer over and the arrival of gentle autumn rains, it was time to start tearing out and burning underbrush and unwanted trees, deadwood and old stumps, to provide new pastures for the sheep. The huge fires sent flaming sparks high into the sky. The wind carried the glowing sparks across the sky. Lass had never seen such fireworks. Forgetting her duties once again, she went leaping and bounding after the flying sparks, barking furiously with great excitement. She would leap into midair, snapping excitedly at the burning fragments. Occasionally, sparks got caught in a black silky coat, causing it to burn. In further excitement, Lass would roll wildly in the damp grass and snap furiously at the offending sparks that had burnt her coat. Then, shaking herself, she came racing back as if to say, "Well, boss, wasn't that a great show?" It was all very spectacular, but it didn't help the work on the ranch. It wore her out completely, and during those times when she was expected to stay steadfast, it often took a single spark to undo all their hard work. Mr. Keller wasn't pleased with Lass. She had broken faith, forgotten the sheep, and wasted her energy. Lass always knew when Mr. Keller was disappointed. She felt guilty for her bad behaviour. She hung her head in shame when Mr. Keller scolded her about disobeying. Mr. Keller didn't enjoy disciplining Lass. It was difficult for both of them, but it had to be done. Lass had to be corrected so that next time she would remember to stay with the sheep. The well-being of the flock and the success of the ranch depended on Lass obeying her master. When the discipline was over, Mr. Keller gave Lass a big hug, patted her head and whispered in her ear, "It's all over, girl." Then her eyes sparkled again. She would shake with joy. With pure pleasure, she would race through the grass in a wide circle. Then she'd come running back for another hug. It was her way of showing just how much she loved and longed to please her master.
I think many of us can identify with Lass. And like Mr. Keller, who didn't mind that Lass had fun on the farm, he was not pleased when Lass didn't follow his instructions. And Lass couldn't stay. It was then that Mr. Keller was really disappointed. God wants us to enjoy life. And he also definitely wants us to obey him and do what is right. Our obedience pleases God. Being obedient helps us to be trusted with the work he wants us to do. Just as Lass was disciplined by Mr. Keller, we are corrected and disciplined by God. God does this because he loves us and he wants us to be the person he created us to be. When we disobey, we can ask forgiveness. We can say sorry to God. Just as Lass showed Mr. Keller in her unique way that she was sorry, we should go to God and say we are sorry. He will quickly forgive. And our relationship with him will quickly be restored. That is why Jesus died on the cross for us, to wash away our sins that we can be forgiven.
What a marvelous morning. Facing temptation. This is the second time I've been asked to speak about facing temptation within a few months. Marketplace 98%, the Christians in the Workplace breakfast group asked me to speak about it, and now I have it here. I'm not sure whether people think I'm very good at it or very bad at it. I don't want to know the answer to that question, whichever it is. But in fact, some guys that I have breakfast with once a month said, perhaps you've had a lot, just had a lot of experience of it. And I have to say, through the whole of my journey of facing temptation, boys and girls, I have never once resisted temptation and regretted it. And I've never once given in and been happy about it afterwards. Long run. Never once regretted it. But when I've given in, eventually, I've had nothing but regrets. How about your New Year's resolutions, folks? I wonder if you made them. And I wonder how they're going. We're a month or more, not quite a month, but we're getting towards, you know, a couple of weeks in anyway of the year. In America, the University of Scranton did some research. 40% of Americans make New Year's resolutions, so 60% don't even try. 8% keep them. You can see the Aussies. University of Sydney did a similar study. 50%. Half of us make New Year's resolution. 12% of us keep them. So half of us make them. 1 in 10 of us get to keep them. I wonder what, and I think the reason we struggle so much is often we place our New Year's resolutions in the areas that really tempt us. I will eat less chocolate this year. I say that because every time I said facing temptation this week, my wife said chocolate. And I found a card once which says, sometimes on a very good day, I imagine you love me almost as much as chocolate. Boys and girls, I wonder what, you've heard some things that might tempt you. Cookies and chocolate, cookies, I've been to America too much, biscuits and chocolate and things. And mums and dads, the things, the speed limit is not a suggestion. It is supposed to be a limit. For Lass, the sparks were the things that caught her attention. And the crows. We had a champion sheepdog once. He was both a champion sheepdog and a pet for me. His name was Pluto. And Pluto's great temptation was digging holes in my mother's garden. Now, he had acres to dig holes in, but Mum's garden was usually watered and moist and mulched, and for a Kelpie, that is heaven for digging holes. If he had not dug holes in Mum's garden and we pulled into the long driveway, he would come bounding down the driveway, jumping up around the car, barking and wagging his tail. If he had dug a hole, we would see this. He would sit at the edge of the house and just peep around the corner. And when we hopped out of the car, my mother would say, "Have you dug holes?" Doof, he would vanish. That was his version of, on the first week of this series, Nick showed us Sasha's guilty face. Well, that's not Pluto, but his guilty face looked exactly like that. Oscar Wilde said about temptation, and it's often quoted this, "I can resist anything except temptation. And the only way to get rid of temptation is to give in to it." C.S. Lewis had a very different view. C.S. Lewis said, "A silly idea is current that good people don't know what temptation means. This is obviously a lie. Only those who try to resist temptation have any idea how strong it is. One thing is certain. As Sue said to us at the start, you will face temptation. Mums, dads, boys, girls, everyone in this room faces temptation." The Lord taught us to pray, "Lead me not into temptation." A lovely lady by a New Zealand writer, actually, Jane Seabrook, she says, "Lead me not into temptation, I can find the way myself." Temptation comes from a certain part of us. And doing the screens for this morning, we had the help of a lovely lady called Senna. Senna is Korean, and English is her second language. And I wanted to put the verse that the Bible uses about temptation, and I thought, I wanted to put it on that picture. So in my notes to Senna, I said, "Senna, can we put the verse on the picture of the dog peeping?" English is Senna's second language, so she gave me this. And we both, can I say, Senna's English is so much better than my Korean. And can I say to any of you in the congregation, whether your first language is English or French or Italian or Afrikaans or whatever, I'm in awe of multilingual people like our new daughter Karen, and speaking English and French and a little bit of Danish. I was nearly going to scrub this picture, and I thought, no, you know what? That's so accurate. Because every time I give in to temptation, I think I'm going to be the dog, and I find out I'm the tree. The Bible says each person is tempted when they're enticed or dragged away by their own desire. Each person is enticed when they're dragged away. Now, these desires that God gives us aren't bad. The desire in and of itself, the desire to be loved is not bad. The desire to be loved and to be significant comes from God. The desire to be creative is not bad. The desire to be to have adventure is not bad. These desires God wove into us when He made us. We are His workmanship, His masterpiece, prepared to do good works which He has already laid out for us, boys and girls, things that you can do. He gave Lass keen eyes, incredible speed, an instinct to chase and to protect and to herd, so she could function as He created her to function. It's only when she took those gifts and used them in her way that we had a problem. You see, when she was told stay, she wanted to be with her master. She wanted to be where the action was, and she was distracted by crows and sparks. Stay gave Lass a choice. Will I do what my master wants or what I want? It's the same for us, isn't it? Temptation becomes sin when we're dragged away by our own desire. I will meet my needs my way. I'll do it in my time. I'll make my decisions. I do it my way. I saw a poster that said, "I've taken a vow of poverty. To test me, send money." That person is actually quite right. The word temptation in the scripture actually means a test. Temptation is a test. And whenever we're tested, two things are always present: pleasure and pain. They're not present at the same time, but they're always present. Pleasure and pain. I give in to the temptation, there's pleasure. In fact, sometimes we try to say to people, you know, there's no pleasure in sin. Yes, there is. If there was no pleasure in sin, we wouldn't sin. If there was no pleasure, we wouldn't do it. But there can be pleasure, then pain, or there can be pain. I'll stay here like my master has said. I won't go with him. I won't chase those crows. There can be pain, but then great pleasure. We choose the order: pleasure, pain, or pain, pleasure. It's the thing that we choose. Go back to the very first temptation. In Genesis 3, it says this: when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and realized what she'd get out of it, she'd know everything, she took the fruit and ate it, and then gave some to her husband, and he ate it. We had a young addict give a very powerful testimony of his deliverance from drugs here, and Nick reminded me of this week as we were preparing, that he actually said, don't say there's no pleasure in a drug, because that's what attracts us to it. It destroyed my life, but it was the pleasure that it gave that hooked me. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but it adds a vital, vital word. The Bible says there is fleeting pleasure in sin. The fleeting pleasures of sin. Sue mentioned that mobile phone in the car that beeps, or whatever yours does when a text comes through. AT&T did a television ad in America recently. They had actors confessing to calling or texting while they were driving. In some states of the US, it's still legal. One of them actually said, if someone texts you and you like that person, you can't just let the text sit there and not know what it says. Every day in America, 11 people die because some people believe that lie. I can check the text, it won't matter. 11 deaths in America a day from distracted drivers texting or reading texts or making calls. Later in that ad, they meet J.C. Good. J.C. Good was 21. She was on her way home from her college graduation. She was hit by a distracted driver. Her mother and father, who were taking her home, were both killed. And she explains to these young actors, my mum won't be there to buy my wedding dress, wasn't there to buy my wedding dress with me. My father wasn't there to walk me down the aisle. I am still partially paralysed because someone had to check a text. And it's not just young people. In 2014 in Knoxville, Tennessee, about 300 kilometres from where our boys live, there is a school called Sunnyview Primary. A 44-year-old bus driver, school bus driver, was texting while driving, crashed into another bus, and two children and a teacher's aide were killed. You see, here's the thing. Pleasure, pain, or pain, pleasure, whatever comes second lasts longest. Whatever comes second, how long will that affect those people's lives? Whatever comes second lasts longest. But often it's much more gradual, this temptation thing. Often it's a process of many, many years and many, many decisions. At first we believe, I can have this, I can have that. Eventually we discovered that it has me. I started out thinking I could have it. Find that it has me. Do you remember Nick explained to us on week one? It's because spiritual forces are involved. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but he's a father of lies. So he sells you a lie. One won't hurt you. You'll be happier if you do this. And then once you're really involved in a habitual pattern, he says, well, you're so far down the track now, you might as well go on. No, there's no hope for you now. Choice by choice, we forge chains that take our freedom. Thinking we're having freedom, choice by choice, we forge the chains that take our freedom. The scripture says the cords of their sins hold them fast. It's in Proverbs 5. That picture of Lass from week one, do you remember that? The cords of their sins. Now, Lass there was tied up. She was chained up by the wrong owner who didn't know how to handle her. But the scripture tells us that we forge those chains ourselves by our choices. The famous Dr. Johnson, who was very big in getting dictionaries started and writing essays and such in the 1700s, he gave this magnificent quote, "The chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they are too strong to be broken." Fleeting pleasure, long regret. What about if we go the Lord's way, the Master's way, and we obey, which is not pleasant? Not having that chocolate is not pleasant. Not having the weight is pretty good. When we go the Master's way, the result is the complete opposite. The result is absolutely the opposite. It's captured in another proverb. It says, "The blessing of the Lord brings true riches and he adds no sorrow." The blessing of the Lord brings... Now, that picture was Lass running when she shouldn't have been. But imagine that Lass running when her master said, "Go down to the end of that paddock and get those sheep." The blessing of the Lord brings riches and he adds no sorrow. We will be tested. Jesus was tested in every way, just as we are, but he never sinned. How do we face temptation? Well, it's very simple, and if you forget everything else I say this morning, remember this. How do we face temptation? We overcome temptation by stop. Here's the message. Stop facing the temptation. Face the Lord. If you face the temptation, it will overcome you. Face the Lord. One of the things that Lass had to deal with in Vancouver Island where she lived was cougars, big cats. And the Bible says the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. But we don't overcome him, excuse me, like a lion tamer with a whip or a chair. Because when we do that, you see that lion tamer there, he's focused on the lion. If we try that approach, then we just stay focused on the very thing we're struggling with. Don't face the temptation, face the Lord. G. Campbell Morgan said, "Holiness is not freedom from temptation, but power to overcome it." And that power comes from the one who overcame temptation on the cross. Boys and girls, I want to tell you a true story. I had a particular thing that used to tempt me, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because I want you to focus on the cross, not the temptation. Mums and dads, I've bounced this story off three people, and none of them could work out what the sin was, so don't you try because you won't. Focus on the Master. But I was in a conference. I was away in the country. I was being billeted with a family. It was a justice conference, a lot of judges and magistrates. And I found that as the evening progressed, I was kind of being painted into a corner, and the very situation I was trying to avoid, the only car that could get me home where I was billeted, I knew no one in that town, was going in a direction I didn't need to go. And I can remember standing in the toilet in that place, the room where the big dinner was being held, and saying, it was a hotel, I was in the toilet going, "Lord, I was very new in this adventure with Jesus, and I was saying, Lord, I don't need to be going that way. I can't see a way to avoid this." I came out of the toilet, and a lady I didn't know at all said, "You're staying..." She wasn't sure of my name, but she said, "You're staying with Magistrate such and such, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, that's where I'm billeted." And she said, I live across the street. Would you like a lift home? I'm leaving now." And as that happened, I suddenly remembered a verse I learnt when I was in Interschool Christian Fellowship, ISCF, and it's today's reading. "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it." He will provide a way out. Now, I have to say that God's idea of what I can endure and my idea are vastly different at times. But he provides only... To finish this morning, I just want you to look at two bits of it. God provides a way out. Chuck Smith says the way out is often the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, get out of here. Get out of this. Straight after that verse, the two next words in 1 Corinthians 10:14 are, therefore flee unrighteousness. Get out. Paul says to Timothy, flee from all this and pursue righteousness. So what setting causes you to sin? Avoid it. What people lead you to sin? Avoid them. Others can love them into the kingdom. What triggers cause you to be tempted and to fall? Eliminate them. Spurgeon was talking to young students preparing for ministry once, and he said this, learn to say no. It'll be of more use to you than being able to read Latin. How do we learn to say no? Well, we cannot do it. Boys and girls, we can't do this in our own strength, like those New Year's resolutions. But the good news is we don't have to. How do we learn to say no? Titus 2 says this, the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live godly lives. It is God's strength that helps us. The Lord who permits the temptation provides the way out. The test isn't random. Whatever test you're in, it's not random. It's not pointless. Hebrews says this. I love the Message translation of Hebrews 13. Don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as his dear children. God is educating you. And God's strength and power is available to you. Lass showed her love for her master best when she stayed, when she obeyed. Jesus taught us that another way to spell love is O-B-E-Y. He said, the one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. But Jesus didn't just teach it. Jesus showed us love when he took the pain first, that we might have the joy for eternity. When he said, this is my body broken for you, and this is my blood given for you. And boys and girls, as we have communion, we see that Jesus obeyed his Father from Bethlehem to Calvary, even to the cross. So Jesus this morning says, don't face the temptation, follow me, run with patience the race that I've set out before you. How can we do that? The scripture also says this, looking away from everything, thanks Peter, looking away from all that will distract us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. This communion service says, he took the pain. And the love that drew Lass to Mr. Keller is only a tiny reflection of the love that draws us to the cross and beyond, the empty tomb and the power to live free. Let's pray together. And mums and dads and boys and girls, I want you to think, as we've been talking about temptation today, has God been talking to you? Are there changes you need to make? Safeguards you need to put in place. Patterns of relating you need to change. And it's not that I'm saying it, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Remember Nick on the first week reminded us of Wesley's words, long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Your eye diffused a life-giving ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee. Thank God we don't have to do it in our strength. Maybe that through the course of this week there are some practical things that he will lead you to do. Keep your eyes on him. The minute we start struggling in our own strength, there's only one way that ends. But may God grant you the grace to stay and then to rise in power. May grant all of us that grace.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.